Luke 2. Simeon had made this prophecy about the baby Jesus, and now Anna is about to talk. In verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fear, with fastings and prayers night and day. We studied that word for temple there is what we would normally think of the whole complex, Hieron. And the difference when it talks about you as a temple, you're just the only or the holy place and the holy of holies. So it's a big deal. Served is that word that sounds like it's latrio, and it means holy service. It's the one used in John where it said they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. Fastings is nesta'a. And prayer is diasis. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This was her single purpose in life. There was no... And throughout history, we've had women that did this. They served God without regard to their own self in any way. And it's mainly by intercessory prayer and fastings. This is why there's so many in the Catholic Church, why there's so many orders of nuns, because some of the orders now are for the good works kind of thing, feeding, etc. It's several of the orders are just for prayer and fasting. That's the only thing they do. We need more of those. Verse 38. My secretary, some of you remember Gene Watts, that came with me from the television station to when we started Trinity. She was this. I mean, when she was, it didn't matter what I had wanted her to do. If she felt that there was a need, she, without exception, she just did only the prayer and the fasting. Kind of ticked me off a bunch of times, but that's one of the reasons I see and understand this ministry. This verse 38, and she coming in that instant. Now, she came, again, this had to be in the court of women because it was a circumcision service and Mary was there. So Anna the prophet was in the court of women, and she came at the exact instant that Simeon was blessing and declaring that he was the Christ and he could now die. And so that same instant means a specific point in time. And gave thanks likewise. That's one word, gave thanks likewise. It means to apply, reply, or to agree in the presence of. So she confirmed the word of Simeon. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth is established. That was the reason that she had to be there, so that Simeon's witness would be, statement would be witnessed. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Now, we're going to spend some time on looked for. It's prosdekomai, and it means to expect the fulfillment of a promise. Specifically, it means the fulfillment of the promise of the Messianic kingdom. All of Judaism, even from before there was Judaism, from the time there was in Genesis 3, all they that saw were expecting Messiah. That became the predicate and the basis of their life. And that is what we each are called to do. If you have any other predicate, any other basis of life, other than waiting with expectancy for this mystery to be fulfilled in you and in the world, then you're in a state of apostasy. It should define every thought. It should define every breath. It informs everything you see. It informs your life at the expense of everything else. So let's look at some of these. Let's look at Luke 23.
That's a great use of that word. I've never thought about it that way. Inform.
That's like his resurrection informs every aspect of a life. There's no other reality. And so it changes at a level that's deeper than any of us can even know exist. It changes by informing this. The resurrection is the basis of everything. It's the same way that the sunrise informs us of the surroundings. Now, his resurrection does that, but it's at a level that's 1,000 times brighter than the sun. But it has to, you got to hear this, it has to define every aspect. If it doesn't, then you continue, go back and forth, double-mindedness. You take stands in the world, boom, you're fallen from grace, you're fallen from the strong city. You have somebody you haven't forgiven, boom, you're fallen from the strong city. You have a grudge against something. You want something. Even the basic things. I had to go through this again yesterday about having, I wanted to be healed and I wanted to be rid of pain. Well, it started Saturday night, more than anything in the universe, and I had to ask for forgiveness. I wasn't rid of pain right away, but it has to be at that level. What?
I just see the pivotal point there, and I talk about this often, that once you do that, then pain takes on a new dimension. It's not the same as before you ask forgiveness.
The only difference is before I wanted to commit suicide.
Well, I see it as after your pain has value, before it just presses you to that point. And, I mean, we talk about suffering all the time, and that's part of it, I suppose.
Amen. All right, Luke 23.
Where?
Luke 23, we're studying them that looked for, to expect fulfillment of a promise. In verse 50, there was a man, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. And he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them. In other words, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was up there when they made all... Anyway. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So he's waiting expectantly, waiting this pseudekomai. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now the word looking for in verse 13 is that expectancy of the fulfillment of the promise. And this, now the promise is here. Now what are we looking for expectantly? We're looking that we might put off this body of corruption and be translated forever into the kingdom of the Son of his love. There's no more. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Jude. No, let's go to 2 Peter first. Chapter 3. Oh yeah, we're just going to read, starting in verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You remember what the word godliness is. Holy conversation is your walk, but godliness is your thinking. So that there's no difference between what you show outwardly and what you are inwardly. All these shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, again, there's that word, prosdekomai, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for, again, look, new heaven and a new land, or new, it says earth, but it just means a promised land, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So every time it's you look for such things, hasting unto the coming, all of this is the same word, okay? And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom giveth him, hath written unto us, or unto you. Okay, now Jude 21. See, do you understand? This is an attitude, an internal attitude, that has the outward expression of zeal. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now that doesn't mean they're sex fiends or something. It just means they're walking according to the course of this world. They're wanting what the Gentiles want. They're esteeming what the Gentiles esteem. They're fearing what the Gentiles fear. There's no difference except they have this outward manifestation. They're masquerading as an angel of light. But inside, they're dead men's bones. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, in verse 21, looking is this word, prosdekomai, the expectation of the fulfillment. All right, back to Luke. And verse 38, and coming, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Looked for redemption.
Is redemption salvation? Is the word salvation?
Well, if you listen to standard Christianity, redemption is being purchased from the slave market. That's what they say the word redemption is. You've been redeemed from the slave market. But it's not you that has been redeemed. It's Christ in you has been redeemed. Because he alone is salvation. He alone is peace. He alone is sanctification. He's never going to give you those things. He is those things. He's the subject, the object, the verb, the noun. He's everything of the sentence. Everybody see that a minute? You can't ever think of yourself as separate from anything because you're dead. He lives. He isn't separate from anything. All right, we're going to look at some. Let's go all the way back to Psalms. Psalm 130. Every time we read this, I want to sing it. But please, I won't, I promise. You remember what? This is one of the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are Psalm 120 to 134. The 15 steps. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they which watch for the morning. Now, the watch for here is in it's in the, if you're translating the Hebrew word, you would translate it into this prosdekomai, the waiting expectantly. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. For he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. So redemption.
It's male gender there. His iniquities. Usually it's hers.
Oh. There's the word Israel. We've talked about this many times, but it means, I believe it means, Ish is she, Ra is she, and El is God. Israel, she who sees God. Israel, the true Israel, is the bride. Now, in jillions of times, when they talk about Israel as this tribe on earth, the 10 northern tribes, sometimes they use the male. So it's not consistent, and even in the King James.
In Spanish, the possessive pronouns are genderless. I don't know. Are they genderless in Hebrew too? As well?
I don't know. I think so. Okay. Anyway.
You never know.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm, mine own seed, brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. So the point of it is again, it's so hard for us to see this, because it just doesn't make any sense. When I saw this initially, when I was at the conversion experience, I thought to myself, no one will ever believe this. No one will ever believe it, because it is so... I can't believe it. I mean, I saw it. I saw that we all died on the cross. And he doesn't give us anything. He is the thing. And so it just destroyed me. And then I kept trying to resurrect it, and I'd get slapped down again. But it's so critical that you see that the predicate of Christianity is your death, his life. Don't be among those that say the resurrection is past already. Amen? He is redemption. He is all those things. Okay, let's go to Luke 21. Let's not go there. Let's go. We just got time for one more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. It's all over the Bible. But
where are we going?
1 Corinthians 1. Start in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are. Let no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, we read all that to read this one verse. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is all those and a thousand, thousand things more. He is life, he is truth, he is the way, he is wisdom, he is sanctification, he is redemption. He is. There's no room for you here except as the empty vessel. And that pisses off people. They want to save their free will. They want to think their thoughts are godly. God gave me this idea. No, he didn't. It's so total. There's no wiggle room. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Okay. Well, we got, for some reason, I think that Luke didn't think it was important for some reason. This, what happens next in the life of Christ is not recorded. It's namely the Herod's order to kill all the children in Bethlehem under 2 years old. It's before that, fortunately. It's Joseph and Mary's flight to Egypt. And where they were, and we have a pretty good idea of where they were in Egypt, and what Joseph was doing. Maybe even which synagogue they went to, and then we have a pretty good idea of when they came back. And so that's probably where we'll go tomorrow, the rest of the week, take a look at what happened with. He didn't go down there to learn the wisdom of the magicians or anything like that. As I think the Aquarian Gospel tells us.
You've read it.
Of course I have. So, otherwise I wouldn't make fun of it so much.
Just gotta pull out the good parts.
Huh? Alrighty. Anybody? I said alrighty.
Yeah, we have already. We're already. Are we going to meet this morning?
I know not.
Is John available?
Yeah. Guess we'll meet.
Hello, Joe's.
Take a big guy.